So the question is, can art fix the world? And though that's a really huge question, I think it's been on my mind, especially since the elections last Tuesday, where I kind of woke up Wednesday morning feeling the same way that I had the day after the Paris attacks on November 13th, which was also a year ago. And it's this idea that in these crises, the question is how direct do we need to be? How much of an impact can we make? And what is the role of art within those moments in history or in the contemporary moments? And I know for a fact that it does have a role because I've seen it. I've experienced it in my life in terms of what art can do. I've experienced it in reading about artists that have actually been able to change the world. And though I think I woke up Wednesday saying it's not enough, we need to talk more, we need to discuss more, we need to be more explicit. I think art is going to be a really great way to bring people together in ways that they don't necessarily know that they're going to create change. I think it's important for audiences to not always be expecting the talks and the ideas that come to them. I think that there's a lot of things that art can do kind of underneath the surface. And there's a billion ways that it's going to be able to help and to bring beauty into the world and to bring warmth and to express anger and to bring people in the same room to talk about things. It's really inspiring to be reminded of that in moments like this when we're all a little bit lost. So the question is, can art fix the world? I was reading about
And
John Cage,
though that's a
and
really
I
huge
was reading about
question, I
how
think it's been
he knows a
on
lot
my
about
mind.
mushrooms,
And
especially since
that
the elections
was
last
funny to
Tuesday,
me because I think it's such a specific thing, and he's
where
an
I kind of
expert
woke
in
up
mushrooms.
Wednesday morning feeling the same way that
And then
I
I thought,
had
well, you're actually an expert in
the day
nettles
after the Paris
because when I was a
attacks
junior in high
on November
school,
13th,
I had to do
which was
this
also
science project on
a year
nettles.
ago.
So I'm going to talk about
And
nettles.
it's this
And the thing is,
idea
people
that
think that nettles are a really terrible
in these
thing because they
crises,
sting and they traumatize you as a
the
child.
question is how
But the reason they sting is
direct do we
actually a
need to be?
mechanical and
How
chemical
much of an
process.
impact can we
They
make? And
have three different
what is the
hairs
role of
on the
art
leaf. There's a
within
short one, a medium one, and a
those
long one
moments in
made
history
out
or
of
in the contemporary
psyllium.
moments?
I think that's how you say
And I
it.
know for a
And
fact that it does have a role
then
because I've seen
inside of
it.
these, when
I've experienced it
the
in my
longer ones
life
are
in
kind of
terms of what
broken,
art
when they
can do.
touch
I've
your
experienced
skin,
it
there's
in
four
reading about
chemicals that I know
artists
in
that
French because I
have
made the project in French.
actually been
So,
able to change the world. And
acetylcholine,
though I think I woke up
histamine,
Wednesday saying it's
serotonin,
not enough,
and
we need to
acid
talk
formic,
more, we
which is
need to
formic acid,
discuss
which
more,
is
we need
found
to
in
be
red
more
ants.
explicit.
And that's why it's both the texture of the leaf and the product
I
inside
think
that
art is going to
scratches
be a
you.
really great way
But in
to
reality,
bring
those are
people
actually used
together in ways that they don't
as remedies. It's really good for
necessarily know
arthritis if
that
you rub
they're
nettles
going
against
to
your
create
skin.
change. I think it's important for audiences to not
They're
always be
used
expecting
in cooking.
the
Nettle
talks and the
soup
ideas
is
that come to
one of my
them.
grandma's
I
favorite
think that there's
soups.
a lot of things that art can do.
It's you can make fabric out of them.
And there's a billion ways that it's going to be able to help and to
And you can also make all these products for your hair and your face that are apparently really great, although I've never tried that.
To express anger and to bring people in the same room to talk about things.
So then there were artists like Victor Hugo, who wrote about the nettle as something that's really hated in the world, but that can do good.
Like this, when we're all and spiders.
He wrote about spiders, too. I think it's really interesting that artists write about spiders and nettles. I've been reading John Dewey.
Can art fix the world?
For my sociology of religion class.
Cage, so that's really huge.
And we're reading the excerpts from The Common Faith.
About mushrooms.
Which
since that, the election,
is his
funny to me because I think it's such
approach
a
to how we should
expert in mushrooms Wednesday
maintain religion in today's
and
world
thought, well,
or in the 1930s when he was writing it. And in the 1930s there was this big movement that was asking to go back to traditional Catholicism because of scientific advancements,
think that nettles are really terrible things,
were
they traumatize you as a child.
Really
is,
going
how,
against the kind
the
of
reason
truth claims,
correct,
he calls them truth
really
claims,
mechanical
how,
and chemical
religion
is
based on
process,
so myths on how the world was created and what happens after you die. And
there's a short one, a medium one, and a long one.
The universe is that all of a sudden science was going against, and this is, you know, in the same years as the Scopes trial, and Dewey's saying we need to establish and modify the institutional religion so that it can be more so that it can fit the way that we lead our lives, so that we don't have to deal with this doubleness of mind, which he's saying is really complicated for us, because when you're in church you hear one thing, and when you're in the world, when you're in school, when your children come back from school, you hear another thing.
Really great way,
but
in reality,
so he calls this the religious dimension, and he's saying that
as remedies,
what's beautiful about the religious dimension is that it can be found in scientists and in art and in parents and in teachers, because
cooking, the talks and the ideas
it's
that come to them.
This idea that,
there's a lot of things
there are many different ways to commit
and
to have faith. And to devote your life in a project that you don't know what the results will be, but you're giving your life to it, and you're giving all of your energy to it. And he's saying that is as
and you can also
as important as
your hair and your
type of religious dimension.
Really great,
and that's
what's going to
bring us together.
Express anger
and
to bring people in the same room to talk about things.
So. Then there were artists like Victor Hugo, who wrote about the nettle as something that's really hated in the world, but that can do good.
Like this, when we're all
and spiders. He wrote about spiders, too.
I think it's really interesting that artists write about spiders and nettles.
Do we prepare people for death? I've been reading John Dewey.
Can art fix the world?
For my sociology of religion class.
Cage, so that's
and
really
we're reading grandmother is really sick.
Excerpts from
and The Common Faith. My mom's an only child,
and
she's been dealing with is his
funny to me,
having to take care of her.
To
how we should. And something that she told me recently was maintain religion. That what's hard is that my grandmother is really sick, and she's really scared.
Because
in the 1930s, there was this big, and my mom's been doing a lot of yoga, and I think, and go back
has become a yoga instructor.
And she was telling me that the problem with problem with our really Western against the understanding of life is that we are very scared of death.
It's based on
so she says it would be better if we had systems
systems that accompanied people, and that
short one, a medium one, and a long one.
The universes that reassured people when they know that they're about to die.
In the same years as the...
And I really hated that.
Trial.
I really hated that because...
Julie's saying we need to establish
and modify... My mom's kind of saying there's no other way that this could go.
So that it can be...
And you might as well be ready for it. And
more...
I think that's...
So that it can fit.
Equivalent to giving up a little bit.
So that we don't have to deal with this.
And I know that it's because I'm probably more emotionally attached to this idea because of the context. But...
school, when your children come back from school, you hear another.
I don't want to be prepared for death.
In reality,
so he calls this the religious dimension,
and he's saying that
as remedies, what's beautiful about the religious dimension is that it can be found in scientists and in art and in parents and in teachers, because
cooking.
It's this idea that there's a lot of things. There are many different ways to commit and to have faith. And to devote your life in a project that will, you don't know what the results will be, but you're giving your life to it, and you're giving all of your energy to it. And he's saying that is as,
and you can also
as important as, you know,
that's
a type of religious dimension,
really great,
and that's what's going to bring us together.
Express anger
and
to bring people in the same room to talk about things.
So. Then there were artists like Victor Hugo, who wrote about the nettle as something that's really hated in the world, but that can do good.
Like this, where we're all
and spiders. He wrote about spiders, too. I think it's really interesting that artists write about spiders and nettles.
Do we prepare people for death?
I've been reading
so
John Dewey
is, can art fix the world?
For my sociology of religion class.
John Cage, so that's
and
a really huge
my
thing.
We're reading grandmother is really sick
excerpts from
and the common faith.
During a recent trip
child,
to Tanzania, I got to meet
to take care of her. To how we should
several people
that
who
she told
were
me
part of the Maasai tribe,
that
and
what's hard is that my grandmother's really
walk
sick
with
and
them and hike
really
with them and talk
years
with them about their lifestyle, which is so
and my mom's
so
been
completely
a lot of yoga
and completely
and
completely different from ours.
And she was telling me that the problem
there was something about being in Africa for the first time that I think made that even bigger. But I was fortunate enough to talk to understanding Maasai warrior,
are very
who,
so she says it
explained
be
to me that
had
how they live their lives. So the Maasai people are nomadic. They don't live in the same place, and the reason they do that is because they survive exclusively on their the animals. They drink the animals' blood. They eat their.
My mom's kind of saying
they eat meat
and
milk and blood, and that's how they survive. And they don't have crops,
and
they don't have
I think
bread the way we do. And so when those animals don't have fields to feed on themselves, then they need to follow the animals, because if anything happens to the animals, then they die. And those are tied to
I don't want
religious and social traditions.
So he calls this the religious dimension. Remedies.
What's beautiful about they do go to school. The children do go to school
in art,
whatever
and
city
parents,
or
and
area they are, but sometimes they have to walk 2 hours to school and come back.
There are many different ways to.
There's something that's very
faith,
inspiring about the relationship they have to nature and how careful they are about their environments.
You don't know what the results will be, but you're giving your life to it, and you're giving all.
And at the same time,
that
there's something that seems very backward about the way they treat women who, after they've given birth, have to stay home for 3 months, only drinking this mix of milk and several plants that are supposed to make them pure again.
Something that's really
as if giving birth is not pure.
Spiders. He wrote about spiders.
And so
I think it's really interesting that artists write about spiders. And
it's that.
I just want to see them again, I think.
Do we prepare people for death?
I've been reading John Dewey.
Je vais parler un peu de ma famille. Parce que quand il faut choisir 10 thèmes auxquels on est particulièrement attaché, c'est un peu dur pour moi de ne pas penser aux gens qui m'entourent. Et j'ai essayé de faire attention à choisir des thèmes qui étaient qui concernaient le monde, qui concernaient
des idées,
des anecdotes, il ne faut pas non plus que j'oublie ce qui est un des thèmes les plus importants dans ma propre vie. La famille en fait vraiment partie. J'ai une petite sœur qui a 13 ans, qui s'appelle Héloïse. J'ai un grand frère, Rémi, qui a eu 22 ans. J'avais un petit frère, Julien, qui aurait 18 ans maintenant, mais qui est mort le 9 février 2009. Et je pense que d'avoir eu deux frères et une sœur, et d'avoir encore un frère et une sœur, ça a tellement formé qui j'étais, parce que chez moi, il y avait toujours du monde à la maison, on était une famille de 6. J'avais mes grands-parents qui n'habitaient pas trop loin. Et on avait l'habitude d'avoir beaucoup de monde et j'ai toujours grandi entourée de gens qui faisaient du bruit des fois et avec qui je n'étais pas d'accord, mais qui m'ont appris à naviguer ça. Qui m'ont appris à faire attention aux gens qui avaient autour de moi, qui m'ont supporté dans les moments où j'étais insupportable ou les moments où j'avais besoin.
Area they are, but sometimes they have to walk 2 hours to school and come back.
Je sais que je ne serais pas la même personne si j'avais été fille unique.
Inspiring about the relationship they have to nature and how.
Et même si je suis loin d'eux physiquement, parce qu'ils sont encore en France et que je suis ici à New York ou en Philadelphie, ils font tellement partie de qui je suis que à chaque fois que je les retrouve, j'ai l'impression que ça fait 2 minutes, 2 secondes, 2 secondes que je les ai pas vus.
Mix of milk and several plants that are supposed to make them pure.
Je plains vraiment les gens qui s'entendent pas avec leur famille et c'est pas de leur faute, mais je suis surtout vraiment heureuse d'avoir des gens dans ma famille sur lesquels je peux compter.
It's that.
I just want to see them again, I think.
Do we prepare people for death? I've been reading John Dewey.
Je vais parler un peu de ma famille.
So this card is entitled How to Get Started. And it's the one where I'm supposed to talk about my expectations about this project, which were mostly that I was scared of hearing my voice, which I'm hearing right now. And it's so strange. I'm hearing myself speak in 2 languages in a pitch that's much higher than I hear in my head. And I've listened to a bunch of different recordings, and it was particularly interesting to me that some of them were extremely personal, which is why I wanted to talk a little bit about my family, about my travels, about my convictions.
J'ai un grand frère, Rémi, qui a eu 22 ans.
Are also about, you know, themes that are very large and very complex and personal because they pertain to us, but
je pense que d'avoir eu,
they also pertain to a bunch of other people,
un frère, une sœur.
I think this exercise is so much more than what Cage says, or what he
Renoir thought about when he was developing it, which is normal, but it's right now I'm not thinking about how I'm overcoming improvisation's limits. I'm thinking about my voice and rhythm and the people in this room and how these 10 topics are what's important to me right now. Apart from the nettles, nettles are really not that important to me right now.
Inspiring about the relationship they have to nature.
Yeah.
And how strange they are about their environment.
It's a strange experience.
In France, if you're here in New York,
and at the same time, there's something that seems very backward about the way they treat.
Ils font tellement partie de qui je suis que à chaque fois que je les retrouve, j'ai l'impression que ça fait deux minutes, deux secondes que je les ai pas vus.
Mix of milk and several plants that are supposed to make them pure.
Je plains vraiment les gens qui s'entendent pas avec leur famille. C'est pas de leur faute, mais mais je suis surtout vraiment heureuse d'avoir des gens dans ma famille sur lesquels je peux compter.
It's that. I just want to see them again, I think. Do we prepare people for death? I've been reading John Dewey.
This past Monday, I went to
this card is entitled
a panel that was organized at Gibney Dance Center, curated by Wendy Perrin.
My expectations about this project
and with artists
which were
Eiko Take, Reggie Wilson, Patricia Hofbauer, and Zvi Gottner, who are all New York-based artists who live in New York now but have
languages
come from all over the world.
In a pitch that's
except
much higher
Reggie,
than
who
I hear in
comes
my
from
head.
Wisconsin, but as he said, is a whole other country.
I've listened to a bunch of
and the panel was about cultural identity and the creative process.
Really,
so I've been thinking about identity during the week because of what's happening in the world and of the fact that I am an international student. I'm thinking about.
Are also about, you know,
I'm thinking about what defines you and if that's what people see in you
and very complex,
or if it's what you kind of know about yourself and how much you know about yourself. I'm thinking about how maybe when you've lived in a bunch of different places and experienced different communities
so much more than what
sometimes don't really know where where in the world you are anymore, which is something I experience sometimes, and what is home.
It's
what is home and where is home and if you have a home, because
right now I'm not
when I'm here I'm not with my family, but when I'm with my family I'm not at the
improvisation,
environment, and art,
I'm
and
thinking about
my information that I have in New York
and the people in this room.
And I think that identity can, once you become aware,
to me right now,
whether it's through people who surround you or
nettles,
how people
really
understand you
right now,
or what you know, you believe in. And right now I'm hearing myself say in French,
yeah,
that I wouldn't have been the same were it not for my family. I think these things that you know about yourself and about how they shape your identity, ultimately that is home. Ultimately that's home because you can take that wherever you want to. I mean, your body's home, but in terms of ideas, in terms of things to keep you going, that's also kind of more of a psychological home, and I think it's reassuring to think of it that way, because you don't ever feel homeless.
I just want to see them again, I think. Do we prepare people for death? I've been reading John Dewey.
This past Monday, I went to
a panel that was organized at Gibney Dance Center.
When I was in middle school, I had to do this humongous project on bilingualism. It was ridiculously large, and I was 14, and we were all super, super bummed about it because we had to do a lot of research. And we had to interview people and come up with this claim about what it is to be a bilingual student and what it means to us. And we were like, we're 14. We don't know what it means to us. And I'm actually really glad I did it because it got me to research the actual definition of bilingualism and when you are proficient in a language and when you're fluent in a language. And it comes down to whether you can dream and talk and think in that language. So you can be, or so the moment you realize that you've dreamt in another language or that you think you don't have to translate in your head is usually how people define how fluency.
Lived in a bunch of different places.
Is fluency a word?
I think so.
Experienced
different communities so much more than what.
And we had to, we talked a lot about Franglish, which is what I do all the time when I'm with people who also speak French and English, which is kind of like this.
Where is home? And if you have
so
right
we'd
now,
have,
I'm
we'd be talking about how
family,
in Troisième,
when
l'année where we were with Madame Bachouf, on parlait de translating difficulties, et on parlait de that one time we had to make up interviews that we hadn't done.
C'était vraiment super drôle.
And Franglish is my favorite language in the world.
How people understand you now.
Mostly the project taught me that more than learning another language, bilingualism is a way to open your mind to nuances that don't exist in certain languages. So there's no word in French for awkward.
Things that you know.
You don't have that in French. You can say gênant, which is kind of uncomfortable, but you have no word to say that's really awkward. And so that's like a new concept for me once I learn it in English.
You want to. I mean, your body's home, but in terms of ideas, in terms of things to keep you going.
Then there's culture, and once you're in a country, but it was really
psychological home,
really clear to me in doing this project that
to think of it that way, because
language is more than just words.
You don't ever feel homeless.
This past Monday, I went to
a panel that was organized at Gibney Dance Center.
When I was in middle school, I had to
Eiko Otake, who I was
humongous in class with last semester, asked us to go home right day one day
ridiculously large
and write about
14,
and we were all
what war was to us.
Super bummed about it. Go home and write the paragraph about war. Define war for yourself.
It's a terrible accent.
Interview people and
but she's very
come up with this claim about what it is to be a bilingual student.
As if it's super easy to just write a paragraph about war.
So
know what it means to us.
Here's what I wrote.
I'm actually really glad I did it because
it got me to research
war.
The actual definition of bilingual isn't only physical violence
when you are proficient in a language and when you're fluent
or military.
And it comes down to whether you can dream
events
and think.
And that right now, so I think what we're experiencing is more amongst.
So the moment you realize that you're
amongst ideas and amongst
think, you don't have to
how individualistic people are
people
and
how
fluency,
lived in a bunch
economic
of
war
I think
and technological war and. And things that are maybe not as clear,
at least in this country.
We talked a lot about
French,
countries,
which is what I do.
Unfortunately,
when I'm with people who also speak French and English,
bombed
and
attacked,
and people losing their lives.
But I think we have to expand that definition a little bit too.
And Troisième,
when things and
people
who
we
have elected to become the next president of the United States, people who go against the years
that we hadn't done.
spent and frameless trying to preserve things like peace and discussion and collaboration.
Mostly the project taught me that more
they go against what we've developed to
bilingualism is believe in.
And right now, take care of the next generations
and
to live in the same place even if you don't agree with people the same way and to express your
you don't have that in French
religion and your thoughts and to have access to health care and to live better longer
that's really awkward
lives
and so that's like a new concept for me.
For me going against that is war because it's failure. It's going back on all these
to keep you going
like on all this progress
country,
but it was really the collateral damage that we talk about when we say, oh, you know, we had to, after 9/11, like we had to intervene, and yes, we're taking lives, but it's kind of collateral damage because we need to do it. I think that we're about to experience some collateral damage, but we've got a lot of tools to hopefully overcome that. Hopefully.